So you're watching price stall like exactly two ticks below a major round number.
Right.
The rotation is slowing down, the tate is just getting incredibly heavy, and you basically have to make a split second decision.
Yeah, it's that classic moment of truth.
Exactly. I mean, are you staring at real size sitting there just waiting to absorb the market, or is that entire level a complete ghost town?
And that right there, that specific scenario, is where relying solely on a footprint chart creates a pretty dangerous blind spot.
Because it's backwards looking.
Right, exactly. A
Yeah.
footprint is, I mean, don't get me wrong, a critical piece of the puzzle, but by definition, it only tells you what is already executed.
It's just historical fact at that point.
Yeah, it's history. If you want to answer your question, like what is actively happening at the exact price the candle is forming right now, you have to look forward.
You have to see what's resting.
You have to look at what's resting in the order book. And that's really the fundamental function of the Dom ladder, pronounced Dom, by the way. It shows you what is sitting there live, dynamically updating tick by tick before the trades even happen.
And that distinction, between executed volume and resting liquidity, I mean, that's where the vast majority of edge is either found or lost.
Though, absolutely, 100%.
But I want to focus on the visualization aspect first, because staring at raw numbers flashing on a traditional depth matrix, it can be
It's
paralyzing.
visual overload, just numbers flying everywhere.
Right. So the Dom ladder acts as the tool that bridges that gap by basically putting the data directly on the price chart. So instead of looking away to a separate window, we're putting this right in our line of sight.
Yeah, the visual integration is the entire point. It's an overlay study.
Meaning it renders on the main panel.
Directly on the main price panel itself, yeah. It's not relegated to some tiny subgraph at the bottom of your screen. It takes the live level two order book data and it pins it as horizontal bars to the right edge of the chart.
Okay, so just right along the axis.
Exactly. And the setup is it's highly intuitive once you actually see it. So resting ask size sits above current price.
Representing overhead supply.
Right. And then resting bid size sits below current price, which represents underlying demand. So as price moves up and down that y-axis, you're literally watching it interact physically with those bars of liquidity.
That makes sense. But there's a massive structural constraint we need to address here for anyone setting this up.
Okay, what's it?
Well, if this tool is pulling live level two data, what happens if I want to review my session? Like, say I scroll back on my chart to analyze a setup from 3 hours ago. I want to see what the order book looked like at that specific moment. Am I going to see those historical bars?
You will not. And that is a rigid limitation of standard data feed architecture.
Yeah.
Depth is strictly live.
Strictly live.
Yeah, there is absolutely no historical order book data provided retroactively by your data feed. So when you scroll back to look at a candle from 3 hours ago,
The Dom ladder doesn't travel back in time with you.
nope, it does
No.
not travel back in time. It stays pinned to the current live book at the right edge of the screen, full stop.
Wow, okay, so that introduces an immediate operational problem, doesn't it? If the data is strictly live, how do we track the history of that resting liquidity? Because if I'm watching the inside market and a massive wall of resting ask size just vanishes, how do I know it was actually there 10 seconds ago? Because if we're just looking at a live snapshot, pulling an order just erases it completely from the visualization, right? It's just
It
gone.
is, yeah. And that ephemeral nature is exactly why the Dom ladder requires a companion tool, which is the liquidity heat map.
Okay, the heat map.
Right. Both of these tools map to the exact same price row tick grid on your chart, but they serve two completely distinct analytical purposes. The Dom ladder shows you the absolute present, like what is resting at this exact millisecond.
And the heat map?
The liquidity heat map, which flows from right to left across your screen, acts as the historical ledger. It shows you how that order book arrived at its current state.
So you really have to use them in tandem.
You do. You use them together to answer two completely different questions.
Yeah.
The latter asks, what is there right now? And the heat map asks, how long has it been there and how is it shifting?
Okay, I got it. So we have this live overlay directly on the price chart, giving us the absolute present state of supply and demand. But, the live order book is incredibly chaotic.
Oh, yeah.
Orders are being placed, pulled, modified, executed. I mean, hundreds of times a second. How does the Dom ladder handle that sheer volume of data without turning the right edge of your screen into just an unreadable mess of overlapping bars?
It's a good question.
Because if every single order at every single tick gets a bar, it seems like it would just become visual noise instantly.
And it would, if it weren't for a really rigid normalization process. The software doesn't just draw random lengths, you know. The bar length for any given level is normalized against an anchor size.
An anchor size, okay.
Yeah. And if you leave the setting on its default auto mode, the study dynamically recalculates that anchor live. It constantly evaluates the 95th percentile of everything currently resting on both sides of the book.
Wait, let's hover on that 95th percentile calculation for a second, because the underlying logic there is fascinating to me.
Sure.
It kind of reminds me of an audio compressor in a signal chain.
Okay, yeah, I can see that.
Like, if an audio engineer doesn't use a compressor, one sudden deafening scream into the microphone will just blow at the speaker, right? It completely drowns out the quiet, nuanced parts of the track.
Right.
So in the order book, if we don't have that 95th percentile rule acting as a compressor, I imagine one freak 400 lot order sitting 20 ticks away would act like that scream, right?
Exactly. It would force the visual scale to compress so drastically that every other normal resting level, you know, the 20 lots, the 50 lots, they'd just be flattened into invisible slivers.
You would just lose all granularity at the inside market.
Yeah, you'd lose everything.
Yeah.
That analogy perfectly describes the mechanical function of the anchor. Without it, a single institutional order parked deep in the book, or even just a fat finger error, would skew the entire visual field.
Right.
So the 95th percentile anchor protects your screen real estate. It ensures that the most relevant, actionable liquidity actually jumps out visually, rather than allowing an extreme outlier to just render the rest of the data totally unreadable. It keeps the relative depth proportionate to the current market environment.
Okay, that makes total sense. But protecting the bar length is really only half the battle. There's also a secondary readability issue when it comes to the printed text itself.
You mean the actual contract counts?
Yeah. The exact contract count is printed per level, right aligned at the edge of the panel. But traders are constantly adjusting their charts, right? Like, if you compress your chart vertically because you need to look at a higher time frame structure, the physical on-screen row height for a single tick shrinks significantly.
It does.
So if you zoom out far enough, wouldn't those printed numbers just smear into a solid black block of unreadable text?
They absolutely would, which is why the DOM ladder utilizes an auto-hide gate for the digits.
Ah, an auto-hide.
Right. It's the exact same readability logic applied to the footprint chart interface, actually.
Mm-hmm.
The software actively monitors the physical pixel height of the rows on your monitor. And once that physical row height shrinks below the designated font size, the numbers just automatically vanish.
Okay, so it essentially prioritizes the visual shape of the data over the granular text when space is tight?
Correct. The horizontal bars themselves will continue to render perfectly at any zoom level. This lets you read the relative depth visually, like you can still see where the heavy levels are, but the printed text gates off to prevent the interface from degrading into just a smeared mess.
And if you want the numbers back,
you simply zoom in vertically. Once the row height clears the font size threshold, the numbers instantly reappear.
Got it. Now, we also need to address the reality of data flow, because when you're relying this heavily on live level 2 data, I mean, feed interruptions happen, networks hiccup.
It's inevitable.
So if you look at your screen and nothing is rendering, or a massive level just disappears out of nowhere, you can't immediately assume the tool is broken or that the market just pulled everything, right? You have to check the diagnostics log.
Yeah, diagnostics are vital for context here. If the log reads, no depth data, your feed provider is simply not sending the depth packet at that moment. The connection to the level 2 server might be temporarily severed.
Okay, and what if it's not a connection issue?
On the other hand, if it reads MTY, it means the data packet arrived successfully, but the order book itself was completely void of resting orders at that specific moment.
Wow, an empty book.
Hang.
But what happens during, like, a micro drop? Say the feed drops a packet for just a few milliseconds. Does the DOM ladder instantly blank out the panel and then flash back on?
No, and that's important.
Because visually, that would look exactly like a massive liquidity pull, which could trigger a terrible trading decision.
Exactly. The study is engineered specifically to prevent that false signal. If the data feed drops a packet or experiences a micro interruption, it holds and renders the last good book.
Oh, that's smart. So it doesn't just instantly blank out the panel.
Right. A millisecond network drop should never be visually interpreted by the trader as the entire market suddenly pulling all resting liquidity in unison.
Mm.
So by holding the last known state until a new valid packet updates it, the tool prevents you from reacting to a technical glitch as if it were some huge structural market shift.
That is crucial. Okay, so now that we've established how the data is scaled, gated, and protected against feed drops so that we can actually read the screen, we have to transition to the actual mechanics of execution. Because having this data perfectly scaled means absolutely nothing if you don't understand the psychology of those bars when price actually makes contact. Staring at resting size 10 points away from the current price provides structural context, sure, but it doesn't confirm intent.
Intent is the keyword there. And this brings us to the golden rule of reading the order book.
Which is?
You evaluate the ladder strictly by observing what happens at the exact moment of contact. A massive block of resting liquidity sitting deep in the book tells you absolutely nothing about the true intent of the participant who placed it.
Because it hasn't been tested yet.
Exactly. True intent is only revealed when the market actually attempts to trade into that level.
Let's break down exactly what that looks like in practice, because this introduces the dichotomy between spoofing and actual absorption. Walk me through the mechanics of a spoof.
Okay.
Say we see a massive bar on the ladder sitting three ticks above current price. It looks like heavy supply. It looks like the algorithms are painting a concrete ceiling. What happens next if it's a trap?
Well, if it's a spoof, the moment the bid-ask spread ticks up and aggressive buyers attempt to trade into that resting supply, the bar instantly vanishes.
It just disappears.
It's a pulled order. It was a decoy all along. The entity placing that massive size never had any intention of actually getting filled.
They were just using the public transparency of the order book as a weapon.
Exactly that. They are manipulating the behavior of other participants.
Mm.
I mean, when retail traders see that massive wall of supply, they often panic. They assume price will violently reject, so they aggressively market sell.
And the person who placed the spoof?
The entity that placed the spoof is likely sitting on the bid, quietly absorbing all that retail selling panic. And then they pull their fake ceiling, leaving a vacuum for price to shoot higher.
Wow.
So when you see a bar vanish right before contact, it was never a structural level to begin with. It was psychological warfare.
That is a terrifying dynamic if you're blindly trusting the bars. So contrast that with a real wall. How does the Dom ladder behave when the liquidity is actually there to absorb the market?
In the case of real absorption, price drives into the resting ask size and the bar holds. It does not pull.
So it takes the hit.
You'll see price test it repeatedly. Aggressive market buying is firing into the level, but the resting limit orders are actively absorbing every single contract. The taste slows down, price gets heavy, and eventually it bounces away because the buyers are exhausted. That is what real structural absorption looks like.
But wait, we can't just trust the visual bounce based on the resting bar alone, right? Because the Dom ladder is only showing us the limit orders. It doesn't show us the aggressive market orders crossing the spread. If I see a level hold, how do I actually verify that the battle took place?
Verification is the most critical step here.
Yeah.
You must verify that perceived absorption against actual executed volume.
Which means looking back at what actually traded.
Exactly. This is where you bring the footprint chart back into the equation. You use your volume imprint or your big trades indicator to confirm that aggressive market orders were actually transacted at that exact price and were heavily absorbed by the resting limits.
So they have to match up.
Right. Without the execution data confirming the print, you are only seeing half the equation. The Dom ladder shows you the intent to absorb. The volume imprint proves that the absorption actually occurred.
Which leads to a rule every practitioner just has to internalize. Treat the ladder as context, not a definitive signal.
Right. Context, not a signal.
A long bar above price acts as a break on the way up. It represents supply. But it's just a level, not a verdict. It shows you where liquidity is sitting right now, but it absolutely does not guarantee where price is going next. If aggressive buyers step in with enough size and conviction, they will chew through that massive wall in milliseconds.
They will. And, you know, when analyzing those massive walls, we also have to address a strict technical limitation of the data feed itself. Standard data feeds deliver what is called market by price data rather than market by order data.
Okay, let's unpack that.
It's a fundamental distinction that drastically changes how you interpret the bars on your screen. Market by price means the data feed aggregates all the resting size at a specific price level into one single number.
So walk me through what that actually means practically. If I'm looking at the Dom ladder and I see 300 contracts resting on the offer at a specific tick, what's the limitation there?
The limitation is that you have absolutely no way of knowing the composition of those 300 contracts. It could be one single institutional algorithm holding a 300 lot limit order, or it could be 300 individual retail traders holding one micro contract each.
The ladder just shows the total bulk.
Exactly. It only shows the combined aggregate bulk size. Because it cannot display individual order counts at a given level, you cannot differentiate between highly concentrated institutional intent and decentralized retail noise just by looking at the total size.
That's fascinating. And because that market by price aggregation looks drastically different depending on the baseline liquidity of the specific instrument you're trading, you really have to tune the Dom ladder specifically for the asset. Like, I can't just set up my 95th percentile anchor on the ES and then favor to the NQ without touching the settings, right?
Oh, absolutely not. If you try to use the exact same parameters for NQ as you do for ES, you will end up with a completely unreadable chart. The order book dynamics are completely different.
How so? Let's start with NQ.
For the NASDAQ, NQ, the book is notoriously thin, it has gaps, it moves erratically, and it's incredibly fast. Because of that volatility and the resting liquidity, leaving the anchor on the default auto setting is definitely the optimal starting point for NQ.
Because it needs to constantly adjust.
Exactly. The dynamic 95th percentile calculation handles the chaotic nature of the NQ book perfectly. Setting the ladder width between 110 and 140 pixels generally provides the best visual balance there.
But the ES is a completely different beast. I mean, ES is one of the most heavily traded, heavily hedged futures contracts in the world. The book is incredibly thick, meaning there's massive resting size at almost every single tick. How do we tune for that?
Because ES is so dense, if you leave it on the auto anchor, the study will often overscale or underscale the book as massive orders enter and exit the queue.
It'll just jump around too much.
Yeah, it makes it very difficult to read relative depth over the course of a session. For a thick book like ES, you should switch from the auto anchor to a fixed anchor, typically starting around 300 contracts.
So it locks the visual scale.
Exactly. Setting a fixed anchor ensures a completely stable visual scale across the entire trading session, which trains your eye to instantly recognize when a level is truly abnormally large for ES.
We also need to issue a serious warning regarding the micro contracts, the MNQ and MES. Because a lot of newer traders load up the micros, you know, because the margin requirements are lower and they expect to see the exact same order flow dynamics as the minis. But the liquidity profile on the micros does not map perfectly to the minis, does it?
It does not. Not at all. And treating the micros based on their specific level 2 data is a very common trap. The large institutional players, the ones placing the structural sides that actually absorbs momentum and turns the market, they are transacting almost exclusively on the mini contracts.
Right.
They trade NQ and ES for the liquidity and the favorable fee ratios.
So if I'm looking at a Dom ladder on a chart of MNQ, what am I actually looking at?
Honestly, you are primarily looking at retail noise. You cannot load up an MNQ or MES chart and expect to see the massive structural walls of institutional liquidity that define the boundaries of the market.
Because those walls are on the main feeds?
Exactly. They exist on the NQ and ES feeds. The order book profile on the micros is fundamentally different, and relying on it for major structural support or resistance levels will often result in just getting run over by the hidden institutional flow on the primary contracts.
You're just trading shadows at that point.
Pretty much.
Finally, regardless of whether you're trading NQ or ES, you have to manage your data processing by capping the noise. Some of these data feeds will push over 100 levels of depth per side. They'll literally show you resting orders 20 points away from the current price.
Yeah, and rendering 200 total levels of depth on your chart is a massive waste of both computational processing power and your own visual focus. You should utilize the setting to cap the maximum levels per side.
What's a good number to cap it at?
Capping it at 20 to 40 levels ensures that your CPU isn't bogged down rendering irrelevant data, and more importantly, it ensures that your eyes remain laser focused on the inside market. The actionable information, the actual battle for price discovery, resides right at the point of contact, not 50 ticks away.
Right. So to synthesize the core mechanics we've unpacked today, the Dom ladder takes live level 2 depth and pins it directly to the right edge of your price chart, solving the footprint's historical blind spot.
Exactly.
It protects your visual field from extreme outlier orders by utilizing that 95th percentile auto-scaling anchor. And above all else, reading the tape is not about staring at resting size 10 points away. It is entirely about observing the behavior at the exact moment of contact to separate real absorbing levels from algorithmic spoofs.
It requires deep discipline. You have to utilize the Dom ladder for what it actually is, a real-time contextual map of resting liquidity, and strictly combine it with executed volume to confirm true market intent.
Which leaves you with a critical dynamic to consider the next time you look at the tape. The live order book is completely transparent. Every single participant in the market can see the exact same resting liquidity that you see. So, if the data is public, does the advantage go to the trader who simply spots the largest resting wall, or does the true edge belong to the trader who is best at recognizing when that wall is actually a psychological trap designed to induce panic?
That's the real question.
It forces a complete mental shift. You have to stop trading the level itself and start trading the reaction to the level.
Absolutely. And just to note, this analysis relies on the specific architecture of the motive wave Dom ladder study. You can review the exact configurations, mechanics, and tuning parameters we discussed today at willickflow.com.